Paul writes to the Ephesians in Ephesians 6, verse 12, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." Tonight we've come together to take authority, to declare those things that God has given us to declare in this season. And as we worship, even more so than when we worship in other times and other places, the enemy host has gathered to watch. And I invite the enemy host to pay attention to the proceedings, because the angelic host is also ready. And the Lord says that tonight at our command, both forces will obey. So, Lord Jesus, tonight we bless you. Father God, we thank you that you have called us your children. Called us your very own. Holy Spirit, we bless you for having been the encourager in the midst of decades of discouragement. And we thank you, Lord, that you have safeguarded those who have gone before. I bless you, Lord, that those in whom you have vested authority in this region are still standing. And we pray that you would continue to strengthen Pastors Art, Pastors Gene, Pastor Craig, Rebecca, and me. And tonight, Lord, we take that authority. We take that authority. In your name. Amen. You may be seated, and there may be moments when I'll ask you to stand as we engage in several different prophetic acts and responses to things that God has shown us during these last 21 days, some even prior to that, some things that led into this. During the last 21 days, there have been many good words, great dreams and visions. Some we'll be holding on to as we move into a new season. Great words that will be important in their time. Others are words that aligned with what we've been hearing. And as we have compiled, as we have discerned what it is that God has been speaking to us as a church and as a region over the last 3 weeks, there's several things that we feel it's time to declare, and it's time to take authority. The first one has to do with the Holy Spirit role in this region. We know the story, 1829. 130 people from this region, and primarily northern Lancaster County, and all over into southern Berks, gathered in just outside of Reinhold's in what is now Blainsport. And they gathered there to protest Charles Finney coming into the region. They were concerned because of what that would do for the worship and their way of life. Around that time, the Lancaster-Berks Reformed Synod took a resolution against revival because it would disrupt their worship and their way of life. There's no way to rescind that because that particular body no longer exists as such. It's a historical footnote, and yet in the heavenlies, it is still written. There are several churches and pastors in this area that have banded together for many years, praying every week on Tuesday mornings, becoming good friends in the process, going through wave after wave after wave of things in the different churches that were all similar at the same time. Not something that you would expect in the natural. There's certainly some orchestration in the spiritual realm. And yet, we're all still standing. The authority that God gave us actually increased as we stood and withstood the onslaught of the enemy during particularly the last 6 to 8 years. It's a group of pastors. We have discerned that we need to take several steps. Because the role of the Holy Spirit is so important in our lives. The Holy Spirit has not been resident in this region ever. The Holy Spirit is one who encourages, and when you take out Holy Spirit encouragement from a region for centuries, what do you get? Discouragement. You get all of the opposite of what is encouragement. And in this region, for example, that's just the way it is here. No. That's the way the demonic spirits have oppressed this region. It's not how God created it to be. And we can just go on through the different ways that the Holy Spirit operates and see how that has afflicted this region, how that has afflicted the churches, how that has afflicted God's people. There are two specific things that four, possibly five churches will be doing together over the next couple of months and then on June 8th. On June 9 is Pentecost Sunday, but according to the Jewish calendar, it begins at sundown, which is 8:32 on June the 8th. And so we are planning on June 8 at 8:32 for the churches that are represented in that group and others who would like to join us. So go to the spot, or as close as we can define as being the spot where the protest was. And go to that place and just stand there and declare, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Ask for forgiveness for what those who went before us did, but also invite the Holy Spirit. And then we want to go to church, to church, to church that night. And together as, not as a congregation or different congregations, but as a body of Jesus in this region, enter the congregations and invite the Holy Spirit into each one. In the meantime, each of us as churches, as pastors, are asking the governing boards of our churches. We have different governmental systems. But whatever that happens to be, we're asking the governing bodies of those churches to pass a resolution that stands directly opposed to the one that was taken by the Lancaster Berks Reformed Synod in 1829. Our elders and I met this morning, yesterday morning, and we drew up a resolution that we will be signing tonight. I want this to be just as formal as the resolution that was passed against the Holy Spirit and revival. We want to have a resolution that's just as formal and as binding. Each of us as pastors will also ask the governmental authorities that are over us, district or network levels, to pass the same resolution. So it's not just congregations, but at the same level as a synod that passed this, passing that. So there would be five different church bodies that will be doing this over the next couple of months. And the resolution says, resolution by the elders and pastors of Good Shepherd Community Church, we invite the move of the Holy Spirit and embrace revival at Good Shepherd Community Church and in this region to change our worship and to change our way of life. I'd like to invite the elders, pastors to come up. And we will sign this. And then we'll put this over there on that table that we use for communion. And we invite everyone else to sign. We're not going to have addendums to this. We just sign where there's a spot. If we run out of space on the front, turn it over, sign it on the back. We're going to have this tomorrow morning as well. Because we want this to be a resolution by the governing board of the governing authority of the church, but also congregation response and agreement to it. So Lord, in your name, as we sign this, we give this over to you, Lord Jesus. Take this document as part of what you have to present and rebuttal to that resolution that has been so detrimental to this region for so long. In Jesus' name. Let's bring the table over here. Dwayne and, okay, Travis, if you could bring that over. And as we're going through the evening, as you feel led, just come on up and sign it. I got to tell you, I didn't anticipate it would be so emotional. As we continue, you guys can be seated, thank you. As we continue through the rest of the evening, just feel free, get up, come up, sign it, find a spot, and join the elders and pastors in affirming this resolution. A couple other things that we want to acknowledge and Saturday evening, last Saturday evening, was, in effect, a prophetic act, a bilingual service. It was not what we had planned. The weather changed dramatically. The Holy Spirit was very real. It was one of those unintended prophetic acts that ushered in the opposite spirit of what was at Good Shepherd when we came as pastors. I'm just going to put it out there. When Rebecca and I came as pastors, there was some opposition because supposedly we were living in sin being a biracial couple. And at least one family left, I believe three families left, but no one told us. And those in leadership maintained friendships with them and never communicated that with them or addressed it with those who left. Deep-seated sin in the camp. Saturday evening was a prophetic act that I believe reversed that. It's not something that I have ever shared in public. We don't really tell many people this. But it's one of those things that open doors for things that happen in this congregation through the years that need to close that door. And tonight, as an act of our will, we forgive those who took that, had that attitude, who took those steps, who sinned against us in that way. And we forgive those leaders who chose to cover it over and leave it undealt with and leave that door open. And we forgive in the name of Jesus. We forgive that. That's a tough one in the spiritual realm. It's a big one they were holding over us. It's gone. Go ahead.
We also want to forgive even the authorities in this region, police that have harassed my children and that mistreated them. I forgive them. I forgive the authorities over this region and the tears that I have shed over my children. I forgive them. I forgive also the comments that have been made by some people in this congregation. I forgive them because they don't know what they say. I forgive them. And I release them in the name of Jesus. I release them.
On the day of Pentecost, the church was built with many different languages and nations. And as we invite the Holy Spirit into this region, as we invite and embrace revival, we are inviting and embracing a very different spirit than what has been here. And that door now is closed. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. We identified a curse that's been over this congregation. It's not unusual, if you stop and think about the centuries of the Holy Spirit not being truly released. When the Holy Spirit is not truly released in the body of Jesus, when the Holy Spirit is not truly released in the church, things are done in the flesh because there is no other way of doing things. This is an area where there's a lot, not just in the churches, but just in the area in general. There's a lot of "you're not good enough" attitudes. Whether it's at work, you might excel and all you get is "that was okay." Or family systems, or what do parents tell their kids about being good enough? The encouraging stuff. These are things that happen from childhood on up. Comments that a teacher might make. Happens on the sports field. I was in fourth grade and I tried out for a little league, everyone plays league, and I was probably the only one that was ever cut in the history of that league. You're not good enough. And these things in the natural afflict us, but it happens also in as we attempt to serve the Lord. When the Holy Spirit is present, the Holy Spirit pours out an anointing and there is a grace and the spiritual gifts kick in and we operate in those. And the results that happen are because God is, through His Holy Spirit, leading, establishing, doing. Through us, through the weak things. Paul's very clear that God's preferred vessels are the weak ones. Unfortunately, without the Holy Spirit, we try to do our best to build things that we know how to build in the natural. And bring that to do it in the church. We do that same in the church as we have done in the natural. In business, someone doesn't work up to what is expected or needed, they get fired. And when that system is brought into the kingdom, that becomes judgment. It's more than you're just not cut out for this, or even better, here's something that maybe you would be able to do better. That just doesn't happen without Holy Spirit inspired encouragement. The opposite of that, there they are the spirits of judgment. You're not good enough. It's been said in this region so many times in so many places. You probably couldn't remember how often you've heard or felt that in your lives. Is this true? And even in the life of the church, things that seem as simply theological as women should not do certain things in the church. You're not good enough because you're a woman. And even more specifically, being told directly that you're not good enough, which I've discovered happens not just here, but happens so much in churches in this particular area. It's not just persons who are trying something for the first time being told that. I've heard that numerous times and ways. As in, what Good Shepherd really needs is a real pastor. You're not good enough. And I've heard that over the years, numerous times. Things like that. And so as I break this off, I need to acknowledge that and forgive it. But then as pastor, I also need to extend forgiveness or ask for forgiveness. I don't know how many of you are brave enough to acknowledge that you've been told that in one way or another, that you're not good enough to serve in the church. Anybody brave enough to acknowledge that? Just about everybody. And so tonight, Lord, I reject that judgment over my life. And I invite you to pray that with me for yourself. I reject that judgment over my life. And recognize that that judgment is not from you. I speak to the spirits of judgment. You're not welcome here. I speak to the spirits of judgment. You are not welcome here. And again, in the name of Jesus, I speak to the spirits of judgment, and I tell you, you are not welcome here. You must go. Lord, I forgive those who were vessels of the spirit of judgment. I forgive them. And I bless them. They're your children, Lord. And I release them from all guilt and condemnation. I release them from other spirits that would harass them because of the role that they had in releasing that judgment. I declare blessing over them. Now, as a pastor of this church, I want to ask for forgiveness for the times that you have been told that you're not good enough. Whether it was in this church or a previous church, doesn't really matter, some other church. As a pastor, as your pastor, as a shepherd, forgive me. You nod in agreement with receiving the with forgiving. And in Jesus' name, I cut off all spirit of judgment off of your life. I break off those words that were spoken over you that you're not good enough. I declare in the name of Jesus that not only are you qualified, but you are more qualified than you ever thought because the Spirit of God lives in you. I bless you in those areas where you feel weak. And I declare that those areas are areas where God will use you. Because He delights in using the weak things of this world. And I bless you. I bless you to try new things. I bless you to try those things that you were told you were not good enough to do in the past. I bless you with creativity for things that you've never been willing to express, but God has been stirring in you. And I bless you in Jesus' name. As a church, we have also been under the same judgment. From the time we came 20 years ago. For some reason, Good Shepherd was seen from the very beginning as not good enough. I remember meeting other pastors and introducing myself as a pastor at Good Shepherd Community Church, and they would say, "Oh, I'm so sorry." And it goes way back. And somehow this church is not good enough. And that has been repeated. It's cycled through. It's been in the mouths of different people in different stages of our time that we've had as a congregation. But again, it's not flesh and blood. The spirits of judgment. And this is starting to be fun if you could see what I saw. The Good Shepherd was established with a purpose. Regional transformation. Building a highway of holiness. Creating a church culture where the body of Jesus is one family meeting in different places, developing a church culture where people are welcome no matter who they are. Transforming the region into a place where God's original design is revealed. Healing. Gathering, drawing people. And God has safeguarded us. Just like the lineage of Jesus was often was hanging on by a thread. At times that's how it felt here. But God has had a plan and a design. And God always keeps his word. And so, in the name of Jesus, tonight we break off the judgment over Good Shepherd as not being good enough. In the name of Jesus, we take our rightful place and authority in the region and relationship to spiritual entities that are observing tonight. And in Jesus' name, we reject that judgment over a good shepherd. We repent on behalf of those who have judged us wrongly or in ungodly ways, and we also forgive them. We forgive them, but there be no consequences laid to at their feet. But rather, Lord, bless them. Bless them. Another one that we feel is important to declare tonight is a word that Robert Stevenson had last Saturday evening, Sunday morning, about the spiritual children being restored. Remember that? Was it Saturday evening or Sunday morning? Sunday morning. John Hamill had a word about repentance means returning. And one of the things that has grieved our hearts has been how, even in the early days that we were here, there was a season where we lost everyone who became teenagers. And I can identify four times where Good Shepherd has been wiped out of the next generation. At one point, even not having children's ministry at all when we were meeting at Salem. Remember that? And over the years, the enemy has attempted to take out the next generation, has attempted over and over and over to do that, and the Lord keeps restoring that. Keeps restoring that. I'm so blessed that while they may have been lost to Good Shepherd, most of them have not been lost to the kingdom. And that is such a blessing to us. And yet, it's a cycle that must be broken. And Robert Stevenson had a word for us from Isaiah 43, 5 and 6. But bringing your sons from afar and your daughters from the ends of the earth, the Lord will bring your children back in 2019, biological children, including brothers and sisters, also sons and daughters of this ministry. And he will heal them. And he will pour out his love lavishly. And tonight, Lord, we thank you for the promise. Lord, we lift up those that have become prodigals. And we speak into the heavenly realm. And we say to the spirits that have held them captive, release them now. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, release them now. And again, in the name of Jesus, I command you to release them. And Lord, I pray that you would soften our hearts as, especially as a prodigal's return. that we would be able to embrace them, that we would receive them as loving parents, just like the father of the prodigal son did. And we thank you for this promise in Jesus' name. Another one that we feel we need to declare is about healing. When God created the heavens and the earth, he separated things out and he made regions. He made separated the waters from the land and had mountains and valleys and some places that would be more fruitful, and there were deserts, and every region had a purpose. Going back before the European settlers were here, we recognized that this was recognized as a place of healing. A gathering place and a place of healing. And native peoples from north and south and east and west would travel many, many, many days to come, because of the healing waters, because of the healing presence that was here. With the rejection of the Holy Spirit, that has been hijacked even in the last couple of centuries. And we live in a region where we have one of the highest incidents in the country of satanic ritual abuse, where those who practice the occult feel like the veil between heaven and earth is very isn't much of a veil between heaven and earth. It's so close here. It's very thin. And it draws Wiccan. It draws New Age. It draws many different practitioners of the occult of different stripes. It's not what God's intention was. God's intention was that by the finger of God, Old Testament reference, the Holy Spirit, by the finger of God, people would be healed. People would be drawn here for the healing power of God in this region. And even before we began to understand the history, the pastors that had met to pray for 14 years had been sensing and declaring that this would be a region where people would come for healing, that people would come, and even if they didn't know that they needed healing, as they would come through here, they would know that they could stop, they could go to any number of churches and receive healing in those places. And we've been praying that. A prayer that's very much aligned with God's design for this region. So tonight, we need to repent. We need to receive. And as I lead in a prayer of repentance and an invitation for that healing, just join with me. Just pray with me. Lord, tonight we repent that we have not received the power of your Spirit here in this place, this region. We repent for the actions of those even centuries ago. That caused this healing design for this region to be hijacked. Forgive us, Lord. Let's receive that healing anointing. Lord, in your name, we receive a healing anointing in this region. We pray, Lord, that you would restore your original design to this region. We declare healing in this land. We declare healing of the people in this land. We declare healing, that restorative healing in the lives of people. And we pray, Lord, that it would become so known that there's healing in this region. That people would come seeking that healing. And I want to bless you. I want to bless you with gifts of healings. And if you want to receive that, just raise your hands, because if you don't want gifts of healings, let's not play with this one. Because when this stuff starts to happen, it's going to be all hands on board, literally. 7 days a week, all hands on board. In the name of Jesus, I bless you with gifts of healings. I declare in the name of Jesus that you will lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. I declare that in the name of Jesus, you will speak life and people will be raised up from whatever their infirmity, including death, may be. I declare in the name of Jesus that as you lay hands on the sick, on the infirm, as you lay hands on those who have conditions that the medical profession says is forever, that you will see healing. That the healing will be just so far beyond what we would normally expect. That you would have an expectant spirit as you see people who need healing. I declare in the name of Jesus that we will see people be raised up from wheelchairs. I declare in the name of Jesus that you will raise people up from wheelchairs as you lay hands on them. I declare in the name of Jesus that you will raise the dead. Jesus sent the 72 out. Not just the 12, he sent the 72 out, and he gave all of them that same apostolic anointing, same apostolic command to heal the sick, to cleanse the lepers, to raise the dead. It wasn't just the original 12. It was a 72, and then it was a 120, and then it was a 3,000, and it was something that God desires all of us. Mark chapter 16, Jesus says, "And these signs will follow them that believe. You will lay hands on the sick, and they will be healed." And I declare in the name of Jesus, the promise of Jesus will be fulfilled in your life. The promise of Jesus, who always keeps his word, will be fulfilled in your life. And I pray, Lord, pour out a healing anointing. Pour out a healing anointing. Pour out a healing anointing that is released not only when we gather together in this place, but is released wherever we go and with whomever we are engaging with. And I bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can sit down again. I'd like to ask Carla to come up, and would you come and share very briefly the vision that you had about the airport? There were a number of visions and dreams that we've had. This one was one that is really key. We're going to address a part of it, but there's more that we need to process. And so we're just going to put that out there. It's still in process. It's still something that we're needing to discern, but it is a key one that we're not going to let go of.
It was, I saw from, like, it was as if I was standing on a cliff, and actually I saw first, like, the back of an angel that was standing there. And I came up to this edge, and I was looking down over, like, a valley, and I saw that there had been a strip in the middle of a wooded area that had been cleared. And then I could see beyond the strip, and I could see just this beautiful, I don't remember many details, but it was just this big, beautiful place, and it was just well lit and landscaped, and I could just see this big, beautiful place. And as I was looking, I could see there was an angel next to me, or I was next to him. He was there first. And then these angels took to flight, and they were eagles. I found my paper where I had written this down. And they looked like eagles, and it was, I remember it being very kind of Narnia-esque kind of thing, but they were flying in a pattern over this, like it was like a runway. And it was just that there was some grass there, and there were a couple of tree stumps. But everything else was prepared. Like, the destination was prepared. It was cleared out. But there was just this little bit, and there was just this angelic activity. It just felt like the angels were, like, fully preparing that landing strip.
As best as you recall, there were, like, what, six stumps? More or less? Okay. And so we wrestled with that and had some, we prayed into it. Some of us thought it would really be cool to get six actual tree stumps and have a big bonfire that would last for days and have s'mores and hot dogs and stuff. Hey, this stuff doesn't all have to be somber. And then someone had a bright idea, find six stumps that are still in the ground, and apparently if you drill them, you can get some really neat flames coming up, right? And those things will go forever. And I won't mention Travis's name here. Josiah's pretty excited about it.
It wasn't my idea, but I'm bored.
So after we got carried away with what would be neat, really neat, memorable prophetic acts. Wouldn't that be memorable? I'm not saying we won't do anything like that, but hey, just not yet. There have been several things that came back, and while this may or may not be related to those six stumps, one thing that we do want to address are the six footholds that we have identified in this region. And we're going to pray into this. We're going to confess them as though they were our own. We live in this region. We've been impacted by it. This has been, has affected us. We're going to confess them as though they were our own sins and receive blessing of the opposite spirits. And for this one, I'm going to ask six different people who would like to make those prayers of those six different things to just come up, and I'm going to, just as a body, six different people, confessing for all of us as though they were our sins, but then receiving the opposite spirit in its place. So before anyone comes up, let me just read them so you know what we're going to be confessing, in case any of these hit too close to home. There's greed, which also includes a spirit of poverty. Sexual perversion, which is strong in this region. Religious spirit. Spirit of death, that includes all kinds of infirmities. A lot of infirmities that are undiagnosed in this area. Infirmities that not only are undiagnosed, but ultimately lead to death. Just amazing. There's also a suicide, a lot of youth that die in accidents and so forth that we have identified in this region as well. It's part of that spirit of death. A warring spirit, which is more than just a spirit of division. It's a warring spirit that has afflicted every organization in this region, has afflicted every church, has afflicted many family systems. In fact, I would probably say almost all family systems have been afflicted by a warring spirit. It's rampant. And a spirit of witchcraft that is sort of the glue to all of this. And the opposite spirit that we will be praying and receiving, instead of greed, a generous spirit. Instead of sexual perversion, a restoration of innocence. Instead of a religious spirit, the convocation of the Holy Spirit. And just in brief, that's the book of Acts. You go through the book of Acts, and as you flip through the pages, you see people gathered, people ran, where the Holy Spirit moved, and there were signs and wonders and miracles. People would just gather. They'd come running, the book of Acts says. This one I remember Robert Stevenson talking about, the former Catholic priest, Pastor Aurelio, who led that great revival in Mexico City. That's what how he described that particular response to the signs and wonders, a convocation of the Holy Spirit, and we want to receive that in place of the religious spirit. Instead of death and the rest that goes with that, for healing to be released. Instead of a warring spirit, for unity. And not just unity based on lowest common denominator, but unity that's based on true relationship with God as Father, Jesus as Savior, the Holy Spirit as an active agent in our region. A unity that comes from kind of unity that you see among the pastors that have been praying together. So not just us, but it'd be throughout the whole body in this region. And instead of witchcraft, the opposite of witchcraft is God's glory to be manifest. And we've had that. We've seen signs of God's glory. We've seen the glittering gold. We've seen in weird places, right? We've seen the just other manifestations that are just kind of, go, seriously? And not just in this building. It just happens from time to time and place to place. But instead of witchcraft that seems to has been the glue to all of this, that God's glory would be everywhere we go. And not only would God go before us, but his glory would be our rear guard. And wherever we go, whatever is happening, God's glory would overwhelm us, would go, would just cover us and be revealed in the hospitals, in the grocery stores, and at work, at home. God's glory just released. And so I'd like to ask for 6 volunteers who would be willing to confess one of these as though they were your own sin, and then receive on behalf of the church and the body in this region the opposite spirit. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, one more. Okay. One, two. Let's see. Only one guy here. All right, we're going to start recruiting. Okay, Dwayne. Okay, let's get 12 people up here. What? No, no, no. Well, just come on up here. Dwayne, let's get, Lowell. Brian, you look like you're ready to confess. I would have been a great Catholic priest, don't you think? You look like you're ready to confess. Okay, Mark. How many more do we need here? Jesse, yeah, you look like a great confessor. And someone to join in here with Doug, Lavinia. Come on up here. Do we have enough? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, Okay, we're going to just team up here. And I'm going to go down through the list, and you can, we'll let you choose. All right? Is that okay? Otherwise, I could assign. But greed. You sort of raised.
I wanted to do the one with the, because it's really on my heart with the school board and the suicide in our school.
Okay, you got death.
I want to do the one with the children.
Death. Okay. Death. All right. Well, okay, greed. Greed. Got two here. Who are you teamed up with, Mark? You and Chris. Yeah, you and Chris team up here. Greed. sexual perversion. Kim, who's teaming up with Kim? Okay, Dwayne. The religious spirit. All right. All right, and who's teaming up with Nancy? Flip for it back down there. Right, Lowell, okay. Death, we've got Doug and Lavinia. The warring spirit. Who's left here? Okay.
Debbie and Jesse and Brian and Rebecca.
Okay. What?
Brian. I'll say you and the four, Debbie,
all right.
Rebecca, and Jesse.
Brian, why don't you come over and team up with Debbie and Jesse? Come over and team up with Rebecca. And so you guys get the warring spirit. And you guys get witchcraft. And I want this, the reason I'm asking you, because you're in Berks. And you drive across the mountain all the time. That is just, anyway, we're going to deal with it. All right, so greed. And the blessing is a generous spirit. Sexual perversion. And the blessing is restoration of innocence. Religious spirit. And the blessing is convocation of the Holy Spirit. Death is, and the blessing is healing to be released. Even for the dead to be raised. It's okay. Warring spirit. And the blessing is unity and witchcraft for God's glory to be released. Okay, let's start with, we don't need to do it in that order. We'll just start at this end and just go on down and pass the microphone as...
Thank you, Father. What a gift. What a gift we have tonight. Father, I just thank you that repentance is one of your greatest gifts you can give your people. So tonight we thank you for this gift of repentance, Lord. We thank you for this time that we can be here before your throne of mercy and grace. And tonight we do. Father, we just confess in our line, in our bloodlines, Lord, in each person's bloodline here, we just confess of greed, Father, in the way it has manifested in ourselves here in this land. Father God, we just want to repent of that. Father, that feeling of needing to hold on to whatever we have. Father, we just ask tonight, we repent of that. Lord, I ask that you would wash us clean, Lord. We ask for the blood of your Son, Yeshua, to come into every bloodline, Father, here at Good Shepherd, here tonight, as we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us. And so, Father, we ask for you to just wash our bloodlines tonight of that greed, Father, that you would take it out of our bloodline, out of our thinking processes, Lord God. And, Lord, that you would just release us from that poverty-minded spirit, Lord God, in Jesus' name. And this comes not just even in material things, but even in spiritual things, Lord. We just ask that you would wash us today as we ask for forgiveness, Lord, as we repent before you tonight. We thank you.
Yes, Lord, and we commit to operating in a generous spirit. We commit to listening to that still small voice, to your voice, Lord, when you're prompting us to give of ourselves, to give of our time, and give of our finances and our gifts and everything that you've blessed us with, Lord. I just pray that you just help us to listen and obey. Lord, I just pray that you help us to just walk out in faith even when it's scary, that we would just give of ourselves and just give of everything that you've blessed us with, Lord, that we would just allow us to, as you've changed our lives, that we can change other lives and we can serve you through a generous spirit. Yes, Lord.
Father, I just come before you as humbly as I know how, on behalf of everybody in my bloodline and all of the families in this region, repenting for coming into agreement with a religious spirit, with every religious serpent that we have embraced, Lord. We cast it out, we cast it down, and we stomp it under our feet right now, Lord. Father, we ask your forgiveness for using works instead of faith. Father, for false humility and false light and false revelation and propagating that which is not from you and that which is not your word. So, Father, I repent for coming into agreement with that religious spirit. And we receive what you have for us.
Lord, we repent for using the church to control people, to manipulate people, for using position in the man-made structure of religion to limit you, to limit what you can do. We ask that you would pour out the convocation of your Holy Spirit in this region, the limitless power of the limitless God, and that you would take us beyond what we can understand and explain. You would teach us to accept you as the unlimited God, to know you as the unlimited God, and to represent you in this region to the people who need to know you, the people that you love, as the God of unlimited love and unlimited power.
And Father, I come before you on behalf of my bloodline, my generation, this congregation, the local body, and Lord, this land. And I ask for forgiveness, Lord, for this warring spirit that we have allowed, for the division that we have allowed because of vain imaginations of our own prejudice, selfishness. And Lord, I just ask for the hatred that we've carried. I just ask for your forgiveness. And Lord, I just ask that with that forgiveness, you would cleanse the bloodlines, that you would cleanse our land. Lord, that you would renew our minds and break up the stony hearts of disobedience that chose not to walk in the unity of your spirit and with one another. And Father, I ask that you would bless us with unity, unity with Holy Spirit, and unity with each other, not a conformity, but unity. Thank you, Jesus.
Father God, we just repent of this warring spirit that has brought chaos and discord into our family relationships, into businesses, into the church. And we just ask forgiveness of even when we thought we were taking a stand in your name, and by doing so caused this warring spirit to be evident. And we just repent of that and just pray that you would forgive us for that, and just pray for unity in the body of Christ under your blood. We know that you do not take lightly when people tear down your church and your people. And just please forgive us when we have done that, when the church has done that to each other. And we just pray for a change of heart, our hearts and the hearts around us, and also pray for those that you'll be welcoming into the church in your name as well, and that we would be united in your name under the blood of Christ.
Carla, did you want to share about the judgment and the things that you've said?
So I had received a phone call, and I went back into the bathroom to take it, and I could hear somebody in the bathroom, but you know, it's a bathroom, so you don't look. And then later when I had turned, because I was just listening to the message on my phone, I thought I was going to have to place a call and return that call. But when I turned around, I realized like all the stall doors were kind of cracked open and nobody was actually in there with me. And anyway, and I knew Alan was out here praying against judgment, and I just started praying. And when I was praying, I just immediately was prompted that as women, we go to the bathroom in pairs, at least, and that's a place where oftentimes women will congregate, and that we, it's a place where judgment and gossip can happen. And so as a woman, just going to stand in the gap and repent for that. Is that okay? Okay. So, Lord, I ask for forgiveness for every time that in secret we hid away to what we thought would be a secret place to cast judgment and to release that judgment in gossip. Lord, I ask for forgiveness. And just cleanse this place, Lord. Cleanse our hearts, cleanse our minds, Lord God, that we would function in such an opposite spirit of speaking blessing. Lord, that you would give us eyes to see what you see, that we would declare those things, that instead of being a people who cast judgment on each other and speak gossip over each other or even over the word that's being spoken out here, that we wouldn't go back to that place, to that hiding place, that spirit of judgment and gossip couldn't function back in a hiding place, but that it would be a place where we would speak what isn't as though it were, in a sense of blessing, Lord, that we would be calling out what you are calling out and coming into agreement and alignment with you and not with the enemy.
Jesus, I repent for the spirit of death, for the undiagnosed infirmities, for every teen who has ever doubted your purpose over their life and has committed suicide. I repent for our actions. And I invite your spirit of healing, and that those on their deathbed will be healed and raised, and those who are in wheelchairs will walk, and that the doctors will be baffled by every healing. And that these healings will be used as a testimony and an empowerment for those around us. That these healings for those who are even not saved, who have turned their backs on you, that these healings will be used as a way to bring them back.
Yes, Lord, I too just repent for allowing a culture of death to permeate our society, to permeate our region, to permeate our nation, God. I just repent for not standing up for life from the unborn to the older people that are seek, that are to be euthanized and just seeking a death as well through the different kinds of means that we've experienced in the past, and we just repent, Lord, for not representing that the value in life that students think that there's just no purpose, no hope, no value, and they choose suicide because they just don't see any purpose, and we repent for not making people aware, not making young people aware, and old people, all of us aware of the divine purpose that you have in every person, before they were born, and whether being formed in their mother's womb, you have a divine purpose for them. And Lord, even more so, even today, as we hear about these just horrifying laws that go into place to kill our unborn children, God, we just stand as a congregation, as a people, against the culture and the mindset of death that in some warped way thinking that they think that if they kill themselves, it'll be a way to get attention. So just a demonic mindset that has come over people, and just how so many young people in our area have just been snuffed out prematurely through all kinds of either freak accidents or whatever, God. But we just stand against that, and we repent, Lord. But we stand against that in Jesus' name, and we declare and decree that this spirit of death must leave this region in Jesus' name, and a spirit of life, the life of the Holy Spirit, you, Lord, are welcome and will permeate this region, Lord, that this region will be known for an area of life, and people will come into this region and they'll just experience the Holy Spirit, and they'll just experience a purpose. They'll be encouraged, and the culture from a culture of death will be changed to a culture of life in this region. I declare and decree, and we just speak that into existence, Lord. We say things that are not as though they are, and we just speak that, Lord, in Jesus' name, just supernaturally, Lord, that you said your word said you pour out your spirit on all flesh, and that your young men will dream dreams and see visions and dream dreams. And Lord, I just speak that into existence. Also, I just pray that you just bring Joel, that verse in Joel to fruition, and see a major move among the young people in this. Among all of us, old to young, young to old, in this region, that will change and set and turn around this mindset of death and allowing it and accepting it as it just, you know, happenstance. In Jesus' name, I say it must change.
Abba, Father, we just thank you. Abba, Daddy. Thank you for your presence here this evening, and thank you that we can be a part of what you're doing in this region. And Father, tonight I take a stand, and I repent of the spiritual immorality that is prevalent in this region. Lord, I repent of the acceptance of the immorality that happens not only in this region, but that happens within our churches and within our church walls. Lord, I repent for those that have been hurt from church leaders or others that have been in the church that want to have no part of you, want to have no part of the church because of the hurt that they've experienced through the sexual immorality. Lord, whether it be for young boys or young girls or any age, Lord Jesus. Lord, we repent of that. We ask your forgiveness on behalf of leadership and on behalf of people in the church, Lord. We pray that the acceptance in this region would no longer be acceptable. Mm-hmm. The ability, or just that it's okay, and just the blind eye that is turned towards it in this region would no longer be okay. And Father, I repent of the thought that the innocence, or that it is just the way it is. Mm-hmm. And Lord, we pray for your healing to happen as well. We pray, Father, for your innocence to be restored among boys and girls, men and women. Lord, the innocence of sexuality. Lord, that boys and or men can be men and women can be women. And we just pray against and stand against and repent, ask for your repentance for just the acceptance of it in this region, Lord Jesus.
Oh, Father God, you are so good, and you have always been with us, even when we have felt alone. And right now, in the name of Jesus, God, I am so, so sorry. I am so sorry, God, for all sexual perversion of all kind. God, I am so sorry that generational curses have continued where you have just had a stronghold of breaking it off. And we just declare right now in your mighty name that those generational sexual perversions are broken off right now in this region. There is no more past that's going to be in our future. And I just declare right now in the mighty name of Jesus that sexual perversion has no authority. There is no more attachment. There is no more. There is freedom. God, and I am so sorry for those that have not been able to forgive those who have hurt them. God, I am so sorry for those that have held on to the past when you have wanted nothing more for them to run into your arms for freedom. And I just declare right now, God, that those things that people are holding on to from the past, God, that they be free, that we be free, God, that we are free. God, we are free. God, and I am so sorry. God, I just can't say it enough to you that I am sorry for ever doubting you, that you had a plan, because your plan has been so amazing for all of us in this region. I am so grateful that every day you have just given us your mercy and your grace, and you are patient and you are kind and you are just waiting. God, and I thank you for that. I thank you for waiting for us. I thank you for always having a safe place for us to go. And God, I am just so grateful that in all the times where people have said this is just the way it is, or it just happens, God, that you have said, no, this is not what it is, and this is not is what's going to happen, and that there is truth, and there is freedom, and we can stand in it today, God. God, I know you have so much in store, and to restore innocence in so many of us at any age. God, at any age, we can be innocent again, and we can have back the things we thought we lost, God, because they've been in your hand. Every tear and every thought and every time we've cried out, God, you have held it, and you have said you've got us, God. And I just declare right now that innocence to be restored, not only here in this church, not only in the churches that are participating, not only in this region, not only in Lancaster County, but all across the world, God, all across the churches that are out there, God, all of where people think they are voiceless, God, they have your voice. And I just declare right now your voice, your song, your angels, you're worshiping over those who have felt alone and the innocence that they think they have lost. God, I just declare restoration in your name over those who have not had it in a real long time. And I just declare your peace in accepting innocence. Those who have felt that they are too dirty, they are too damaged, that they are too whatever those lies are that the enemy has put in, whatever those words are, God, we just reject it. And we just declare the Holy Spirit to be in every spot where the enemy thought he had a stronghold in our minds, that we were not clean enough, good enough, whatever enough for you, because we are, God. And you want to restore that because you are just so amazing. You are all, I keep going back. I forget who said it, but they were like, awesome is for you, all. We are in awe of you, God, and you can restore innocence, and I am in awe that you can do that. And thank you, God. God, just from the bottom of my heart, God, thank you that you can restore innocence in all of us again. Because I want it, God. I want that, God. I want that for all of us.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And Father, on behalf of people in this region, I come before you, Father God, as being part Native, part African, part European. I ask for forgiveness. I ask for forgiveness, Father God, for the sins, for the witchcraft over this region, over this country, even the continent. I ask for forgiveness for powwow, water witching, white magic, white witchcraft. I ask for forgiveness for every kind of witchcraft that has been done and is even as a person that is not even from, wasn't born in this country. I ask for forgiveness for those people from other countries that have brought witchcraft into this region. I ask for forgiveness, Father God, all of that I mentioned right now, Father God, even those who came many years ago that came from Europe, Father God, that they brought the witchcraft, Father God. I ask for forgiveness. Lord, and particularly for the natives, Father God, that were here, Father God, for the witchcraft. Father God, forgive us. I ask for forgiveness for the control that your word says is witchcraft, that the church has exerted over people. And those who are into witchcraft, those who come from the Caribbean too, Father God, that have brought the voodoo and the hoodoo and all forms and kinds of witchcraft, I ask for forgiveness, Father God, over this region. Lord Jesus, come and cleanse us. Cleanse us, that the blood of Jesus will just come and cleanse the land, that the blood of Jesus will come and cleanse every person. Even those, Father God, forgive us, even as parents, as we allow our children to watch things on TV that are evil, I ask for forgiveness. I ask for forgiveness for the young people that are into different kinds of movies and music that brings witchcraft into their lives. I ask for forgiveness, Father God. Yes, Lord Jesus, just come with your blood and just cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Holy Spirit, be released to speak into every person that is dabbling into different things, Father God, that are witchcraft. Holy Spirit, just speak to them. Speak to them. Bring conviction. And I bind all condemnation because there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And Father, bring us to repentance, and I repent for every form of witchcraft that has been done in this this land, even the bloodshed, the ritual, what is it called? Ritual? Satanic ritual abuse that has been done, and the blood that has been shed because of satanic rituals in this region. Forgive us. We ask for forgiveness, Lord, for those, and we repent, and we ask for your mercy. We ask for your mercy. We ask for your mercy, Lord. Jesus, you are the right hand of the Father interceding for us. Thank you. Thank you that you died on the cross for us. But we ask your cleansing of the land. Lord, we ask for a complete transformation of this land in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood of Jesus. Lord, complete transformation. Lord, that your angels will push back the darkness that the enemy wants to bring here. And we declare that this place is holy and righteous and good. Because you made it good. Your plans and your purposes is for this place to be a good place. So we welcome the Holy Spirit. Release the Holy Spirit to work in our lives and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father.
God, we just ask for your glory to be to be filled in this region, that you would just flood us out with your glory in unmeasurable amounts, that that as we go through our days and we do our jobs and our tasks that you give us, that that you just shine through everything we do, that it would be undeniable that your glory is immersed in this region. And we just declare that this is a region that's no longer going to be oppressed by witchcraft or evil spirits or anything, but that people would know this region as a spot where God's glory flows free, that it would just be everywhere, undeniable. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you all. As we're bringing this evening to conclusion, just want to alert you to a couple of things that we're still processing. One is a couple of words I received. One is the word redesign. And as we sort it through that as an elder team, we ask the question, what is God doing that would cause a redesign? And for the most part, it's just at this point, it's not try to figure it out. The things that we thought were coming, the timetables that we had, in essence, are out the window. Not that the ultimate direction is off, it's just going to be a little bit different process. God has this. We need to trust God. It's a new season. It's a new season. John Hamill had a word that 2019 is a year of a new way forward. I believe that as we leave tonight, we need to make a declaration that we are in a new season. But before we declare that, we need to just take care of some practical issues. Okay, and I speak to the demonic beings that have been here present throughout. I do appreciate your attention and And I tell you in the name of Jesus that you are, when I say go, you will be dismissed. But I also declare to you that you are under the authority of Jesus Christ. I declare to you that wherever Jesus is being worshipped, that if you come near, you must bow your knee in worship. I bind this to you in the name of Jesus. I bind this to you in the name of Jesus because you have been defeated. You were defeated on the cross. You've also been defeated again in this region. In the name of Jesus, I also declare that the blood that was shed, the blood of Jesus, will now be poured over each and every one of you. That the only way you will see anything will be through a curtain of the blood of Jesus. Now in the name of Jesus, I tell you, every demonic spirit, you're dismissed, you may go. Okay. Along with the demonic spirits that were witnesses here, it's quite a crowd, I don't know if any of the rest of you saw them. By the way, this is my favorite part of deliverance. We have deliverance. And that's basically what we're doing tonight. There's also been quite a company of angelic beings. And as we were making declarations, they were receiving assignments. Just assignment after assignment after assignment. What I saw was angelic beings receiving assignments not only for those of us who are here tonight, but assignments for not only for this congregation, but assignments for congregations in this region, Lancaster and Berks, for family systems, for workplaces. And these are angelic beings that know how to obey. Just be ready. Ready for what's coming. And so now I speak to the angelic beings and I thank you. Thank you that you've been with us, that you have obeyed the Father, that you looked out for our well-being, that you've been obedient, and I bless you tonight. We bless you tonight. And tonight we release all the angelic beings to the assignments that they've been given, you've been given. We release you. We release you. We release you. And we welcome you as your assignment brings us into our spheres of family life, our spheres of work and study. The neighborhoods where we live, the places where we shop, the places where we recreate. We receive you. We receive you and bless you as you're obedient to your assignments. It's a new season. It's a new season. Just one more story. Sunday night was a blood moon, right? Rebecca and I went out. I felt the Lord say, just drive the gate during the blood moon, 11:41 through 12:20. And worship, just worship. Not the way we would normally prayer drive it, just worship. So we did. We stopped at 12:12 at the park and ride, right at the gate. We could see the blood moon, take some pictures, continue to worship. And then we began driving down. We started up in the exit above Adamstown, where you can come down the ancient path. And we drove down the ancient path through Adamstown, back through Muddy Creek, and on down what as much as still exists of that ancient path that the native folks had. And as we were getting closer to Ephrata, there's an old bridge there, and we've prayed that bridge over that little creek. We've dumped, who knows, gallons of oil in there, anointing the river, the stream. And as we were going past there, I felt something that I felt back some years ago when we were waging prayer resistance against the porn shop. We're at 3 a.m. Just felt like it was done. The resistance was over. There was no more pushback. And I felt the exact same thing at that time. Feels the same again tonight. There's just no pushback. There's no pushback. There is no pushback anymore. It's a new season. A new season. So this evening, as we leave, just want to make a declaration. It is a new season. Everything changes from here on out. Pay attention. Receive God's favor. Receive God's blessings. Receive what God wants to add into your life. Receive the moving of the mountains, where in the last 21 days you saw the mountains begin to tremble, begin to crumble, begin to move a little bit. You're going to see mountains actually toppling, being moved into the sea. It is a new season. Pray boldly. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. Pray boldly. Worship with everything you've got. And walk out of here with a confidence that is yours, because you are a son of the Most High God. You are a daughter of the King. And every being in heaven, angelic or demonic, will recognize that. And those who are here on this earth will respond to it as well. And tonight I bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great night, and we'll see you in the morning.